spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com. Code SUPER24.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The way to build wealth is to do the simple, basic task and repeat for a number of years. Keep it really easy. Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. I'm super excited. So we have a follow-up with a guest. But we're changing her name. She said something in the pre-show, and I was like, we have to talk about this. So we're going to go with the fake name Diaz.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are a follow-up, but we'll just, let's maybe take it from the top, because we're not going to link it to, like, the previous episode. So fill us in. What's going on? What do you do? What do you make? Where do you live? All that jazz.
Yeah, so I live in Denver, Colorado. And I am an engineer, so I work with energy efficiency things and helping people have their buildings be more energy efficient. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the work. So doing that right now, I'm making $95,000 a year.
Okay.
And then.
And how old are you?
Oh, I'm 28.
Okay. And you're married?
Yes, I am married. but we split things still kind of individually.
Okay, so you keep it separate.
That way, yeah.
Okay, and what does your partner do?
My partner is an architect.
Okay, and what does he make?
So he is on an hourly basis and makes, I think, around like $70,000 after everything is said and done.
Okay.
But, you know, it fluctuates because he does lots of overtime and things. And
okay. So it varies.
Yeah. Being hourly for that is helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Because you get the it's always nice to get overtime. Okay. Yeah. So can I ask why? Because when we were talking in the pre-show, you're like, I mean, just want to tell people I'm engaged. I'm like, I want to know why that we changed the name so I can ask that question.
yeah. I think we want to tell everyone. It's just we really wanted to enjoy some time on our own and just enjoy being married without kind of everyone else's opinions and asking things. And I feel like everyone's next questions of like, oh, are you having kids and all this stuff? And we just want to kind of enjoy it for ourselves, because that's why we got married, was for each other.
Yeah, not for all the hoopla that comes with.
Yeah, so that's something I was going to talk about later, but we're planning on getting married in 2 years, probably, like 2026.
Having a wedding.
Yeah, sorry.
Like publicly getting married.
Publicly getting married, inviting everyone, getting everyone involved.
Okay, so in 2 years' time. And what are you thinking about for that? Like small, big?
I'm not really sure what's considered big. At first, we were
maybe
like
budget at the wise. Maybe we talk about like small budget, big budget.
Yeah, that's a huge unknown for me. It just seems like so expensive no matter what you do. But I think we're trying to stay between like 100 and 150 people.
Okay.
but we really love a good party.
I'm glad you said people because I like thought you were going to say 100, 150,000. I was going to be like,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
That okay, 150 people. Okay, good. I mean, you can spend 150,000 on 100 people for sure. Yeah. But okay, people. I'll take a deep breath. I thought you were going to say
yeah. No, we're still trying to figure out kind of how much that's going to cost and what we're comfortable with. It's just so difficult to kind of pin that down. I was looking at average numbers and they're saying like, oh, $30,000. And then I started pricing things out and it was inching up from that even more. And I was like, oh, I don't think I actually know what to budget.
I don't know who came up with the 30,000 because I got married last year. Yeah. And we did two weddings because that's obnoxious and we did it. But I'm very happy we did it because I wanted a ski wedding and like that felt like a big imposition to ask people. You live in an area that's also very popular in the winter. And so flights are very expensive, hotels are very expensive. And I didn't really want to be like, why don't you spend a fortune to come watch us enjoy a sport that's also very expensive that we love and you don't participate in? That just felt real rude because it's like one thing to have like a destination wedding where there's like, you can go to the beach and you can, you know, hike or whatever.
So yeah.
We also split it up. And I remember reading the article, like the average wedding is 30,000 or 35. And I was like, for who? Like, where did they get married? Like, where the actual price breakdown? Can you tell me? Because I would love for it to be that cost. So, yeah, I think that the articles online, I don't think they're accurate. Yeah. Maybe somebody who listens to this podcast could come on or message us and be like, you're absolutely wrong. This is where you can get married for this price. It would be wonderful information for everybody. I think there are ways you can do it. More like to stay within that like average. I guess my suggestions would be destination weddings. If you go somewhere where everything is more affordable, it's like more expensive for your guests. It limits as many people, like the number of people that are going to come, right? Because it's vacation. So I have heard, we just had a podcast guest for this season and they were getting married in Chamonix and that sounded very expensive, but she said it like wasn't.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes looking abroad, if that's interesting to you. Also, I think depending on the type of wedding you're going to have, I think alcohol can be a big cost. Food can be a big cost. So stuff like that. So I think, I guess my advice on the wedding is like prioritize what's most important to you, like where you want to spend your money. And then the other areas that are not important to you, where you don't, you know, want to spend the money.
Yeah. Don't need to spend on every category that they suggest.
Correct. And as you said, the marriage is about you and your husband and it's a great party and it's a really fun day, but it's one day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of where we're torn because we do love a good party, especially a wedding because it's fun to get all those people together. But yeah, there's more after that. So I have to think about that.
Well, let's talk about your other finances and see where we fall budget-wise for the wedding, like where we can come to like a realistic number where you're still able to, because we don't want to go into debt for the wedding. It's my stance.
Right.
You don't want to have this wonderful day and then be carrying the cost of the wedding for the next year. I don't think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about it, but I do have a number of things so that I'm also paying for. So yeah.
Okay, let's run through it. Okay, so you are making a gross of $95,000 as an engineer. You're 28. Mm-hmm. Your husband, secret husband, is making $70,000, give or take, because he has access to overtime. And as of now, you're keeping all of your bills separate.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's run through what the expenses are and how we're breaking it up and then any savings and debt that you might have.
Okay, so making like the net income for a month is $4,944. And I get paid bi-weekly. So, but I keep it at two paychecks a month so that those extra months can be.
Because you get 26 versus 24. So you're living on a little bit less than you're actually making. So those are bonuses. Perfect. Okay, so your net incomes, we're not including the, we'll call them the two bonus checks, but your biweekly, so you get 26 pay periods versus most people get 24, or some people get 24. So you're living on 4,944 net monthly.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. And does your, you know, gross check include a contribution to a retirement plan and or health insurance?
Yes. Both of those.
Okay. How much are you putting? You have a 401k?
Yes. I have a 401k. I'm putting in 6%. And then my work is matching with 3% salary.
And you're doing pre-tax?
Yeah, I'm doing. Yeah. Or no, sorry. I'm doing the Roth option.
You're doing Roth option. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then your employer's is pre-tax.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, good. And then you have health insurance through there?
Yep. And so I take out $261. My partner is on mine. So
okay,
we split some of that.
Perfect. Okay. So after retirement contributions and health insurance, you're netting the 4,944. And then how does it break down from there?
Like my expenses?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I bought a house last year. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. It's been a lot of new things happening, especially since the last time I was on the podcast. So that's exciting.
Very exciting. So did you buy the house by yourself?
No, we bought it together.
Okay.
And so we're both paying on it. But because I make a bit more, this is the one expense where I pay a little bit more than him.
Okay.
Yeah, so I pay $2,300 for the mortgage, and that's with the taxes and insurance rolled into that. Yeah,
perfect. And can I ask, what was the purchase price, and how much did you put down, and then the interest rate?
Yeah, so purchase price was $600,000. It's a lot, I think, for me, but living in the Denver area, it's really just keeps going up. So. That was that. We put down 20%.
Amazing.
With a little help from some family who we are planning on paying back.
Okay.
And then that interest rate is 6.75, which is not great, but I guess not terrible either from what I hear. Like, things have continued to go up, but I have friends who have like 2-3%.
There are some people that just were in the right position to take advantage of it's a low interest rate environment. It's lucky, yeah. Right? It's just good timing.
Yeah.
The historical average is 30-year fixed.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put 20% down, which is great. You're not paying primary mortgage insurance, which is commonly referred to as PMI.
Yeah.
It's higher than your friends, but it could be higher, right? And you can always, if rates do come down lower, you could always refinance. You want to wait and make sure the rate comes down where it makes sense to refinance. You can always make principal only payments to reduce the effective interest rate on the mortgage. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at the 30-year historical, you're a bit below the historical average.
Okay.
To make you feel better, you know, my parents bought a house because that was like where they were at the point in their life, was to buy a house. Now, granted, the purchase price was significantly lower, but their interest rate on their mortgage was 18%.
Oh,
so the timing for the housing market was great, right? Houses were more affordable than they are today. It wasn't $600,000. But the interest rates were astronomical.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So it's a bit of a timing, like when you get to a certain point in your life where it makes sense to buy a home. And as you said, the Denver real estate market is attractive, and so prices go up very quickly there. So sometimes you have to bite the bullet, and you get an interest, depending on how you do your taxes, you could get an interest write-off, and you could always do the principal only payment and then keep an eye on the rates, and you could always refinance if you wanted to down the line. If should we go back to a 3% rate environment? I don't think we're going to. If I had to put my money on it, I would say we're more likely to go up than we are to go significantly down, just because we've never had those rates before. So
yeah, that's a good point. So not too bad.
Can always be worse is the way I would look at it versus could have been better, right? Because it could worse. It can always be worse. So
yeah. And I think, again, it's people keep wanting to move here. But we also really like the place, and it's a good size. It's not too big, but enough to have some space and a yard and all that. So I think it was worth it. I'm really happy about it.
Good. That's exciting. So a lot of big moves lately. Okay. So we have a house. Yeah. Your portion of the mortgage, which you bought the house together, is mm-hmm. $2,300. So you chip in a bit more because you make a bit more money.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then what else do we have?
So then I spend about $150 on utilities. It's kind of high right now just because of how cold it's been. And I'm hoping it'll come down because we actually got solar on the house.
Oh, nice. I don't think I've had anyone on who's talked about that. You get a credit, right?
Yeah.
For installing it?
Yes. So my taxes are going to come back much nicer this year.
That's awesome. And it should help with the overhead for the house.
Yeah. Yeah. So those in the summertime, the utility should be much better because of that.
Okay, great.
So then I spend about $400 on food. I've decided to lump that into one. Before I was kind of splitting groceries and restaurants, but
okay.
I'm trying to have like a less negative thought process about spending money. And I really love good food. And so I'm trying to like, it's not a bad thing to spend on restaurants. So $400 total for all my food is what I'm shooting for.
Yeah, I think that's very, that's $100 a week.
Yeah.
And everyone knows going out to a restaurant is not cheap. So
expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And then $30 for my phone bill, $70 for gas. We have a cat, so I put aside like $25 a month for his expenses. And then we pay $75, or I pay $75 for car insurance. That's something that I pay yearly, but I try to
broke
put
it
aside.
Out. Okay.
Yeah. And then $25 for just kind of house things, soap and toothpaste and
yep.
stuff. And then $8 for Spotify, $25 for Netflix, and $30 for kind of parking, transportation things,
okay.
Uber, parking at my work, things like that. $40 for my ski pass because living out in Denver.
Wow. How is it $40?
Oh, $40 a month that I like save up.
Save. Okay. I was just yeah. like, what ski pass do you have? We all need to know about this.
No, I wish. It is a pricey hobby, that's for sure.
It is an expensive hobby to ski, absolutely. And the pass and the gear, the whole thing is expensive.
Yeah. I recently bought new gear, so I'm set there. And yeah, so kind of setting aside that money each month. And then I have like a bunch of things that again are like, I pay them yearly, but I save for them monthly. So like a Costco membership and
okay.
like jewelry insurance for my engagement ring and all that. So that comes out to $55.
Okay.
For all those sorts of things that I save. And then I've been budgeting about $150 for myself, just like my hobbies and if I want to buy new clothes.
Okay.
Any sort of activity. And then I have my loan stuff.
Okay.
When we purchased the house, it was actually an Airbnb before. So they didn't want any of the furniture. Well, they wanted it. They wanted value for it. So we paid outside of the mortgage for it.
Okay.
Because it was much nicer furniture than what we had. So
okay.
we had somebody help us pay for that. And so I just pay them $140 a month.
So the house came fully furnished?
Yeah.
That's kind of a dream, I think.
Yeah, it was nice because they did a really nice job. We really liked how they decorated. And so we just kind of added the things that we really mm-hmm. liked from stuff. And now we have some, I'd love to be that person who's like really like a great designer for the home, but I don't know, I'm not as savvy. And so they did a really good job and I'm just relying on their good design.
As a person who's not savvy with design, I think that's a dream because
yeah.
like having to like figure out what pillow goes with that pillow and where to order.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. So I think that is great that it came fully furnished.
Yeah. And so I would say we got like $10,000 worth for $5,000.
And no time, like not ordering it, finding out to get through the doorway, putting things together, right? There's like all of that time.
Yeah. And it's all in really good condition. So it was really nice. Yeah. We have about like $2,800 left to pay back.
Okay.
Our generous friend there. And then I have student loans.
So am I correct? It sounds like you have a spreadsheet over there. That we are around, just like trying to add this all up, around a little over 1200 for everything that we just went through, not including mortgage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, that would be like
1225. And then with the mortgage, we would be at 3525. We're just rounding up. Okay. So 3525 is what your mortgage and all of your living expenses are, right? So cell phone, utilities, all that. And then now we get into the debt, right? And I lumped in the furniture in there because is there interest on that? I'm assuming there's not.
No.
Okay. I'm just lumping that up there then. Okay. Okay. So around 3525 of your 4944 is what we need for a mortgage and all your living expenses. All right. And now we have your student loan payment. And how much do you have in student loans, and are they fixed or variable?
They are fixed, and I have $75,800 left.
Okay.
Which is so much, but I do have a graduate degree as well, so.
And they're fixed. I just read an article today about like the variable student loans and how they've gone up so much, right?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what your fixed rates are?
So 50,000 of that is at 4.5%, and then the rest of it is at 4.35. So pretty close.
Pretty close. Okay. That's great.
Yeah. I refinanced my government student loan, still within the government loan structure, but just with a longer payoff time because we got the house and at a lower interest rate than what they were individually.
Perfect. But they're still government. So they still are. Because how long have you been paying on them so far?
I think I've been paying for about 6 or 7 years now.
Okay. And with the current plan, will you have them paid off? Is it 20 over 20 years?
No,
is it 15 actually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I refinanced those in October of last year. 2038. That sounds impossible, but.
So the total time then will be closer to 20 that you'll be paying on them.
Yeah.
From like inception.
Yeah, I guess so.
But 14, give or take, left. Okay. And so your monthly payment's around 700, you said?
Yeah, I'm paying an extra $75. So they're really 625, but I'm inclined to try to pay more off, and I'm hoping to pay them before 2038 rolls around.
Okay. And that extra 75 is being targeted towards principal.
Yep.
Okay. Cause you know, they're like sneaky with that. They're like, $75 is early, which is not helpful for you. It's great for them, but not for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have learned that lesson and I'm very diligent with that now.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. That's a tough one. It's a tough pill to swallow. I think I said very early on, this is years and years ago, my cousin was like, Barb, I've been making extra payments, like you said. And I was like, but are they principal payments? She's like, yeah, totally. And then he checked and he was like, you're not going to believe this. I'm just like super early. I'm like paid up for months. And I was like, God. I was like, they love you. They should write you a thank you card. He was not thrilled with me when I was like, I don't think it's going the way you think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm glad that you're doing that. And then we have 14 years left. You have low interest rates. So that's good. Okay, any other debt? I mean, I know about the mortgage besides student loans.
Yeah. So the solar does come with a loan. And so I'm paying half. And so that's $130 a month.
Okay. And how long for that to be paid off?
That should be 10 years.
Is there an interest rate for the solar?
Yeah. So it's 6.99. That's a fixed interest rate.
All right, that's $130 a month. And you split that. You and your husband split it.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out. Anything else?
I will mention something else. So the help that we got from family for the down payment to make that 20%. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for that. My partner is, but that's $43,000 at 5%.
Now, is he paying it back because he borrowed it?
Yeah, well, so it's from his family.
Okay.
And that's also just like splitting. He pays a little less on the mortgage and pays $460 on this loan that okay. I don't pay for.
Okay, and he pays $460 to do the down payment repayment. Yeah. I wasn't sure if when you did the down payment, if you had the cash and he didn't, and so he borrowed and you didn't.
No, actually, he had the cash. He had an inheritance. And so that's also like me paying a little bit more, also kind of like we hope to even that out eventually.
Got it. So you're paying more on the mortgage and then he's paying on the loan for the down payment.
Yeah.
To even it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And how much more on the mortgage are you paying?
So I think about $1,000. Well,
more.
Yeah, like between that family loan and our mortgage, it's like $4,000, and I pay, I guess, $700 more
than he does. Okay.
Yeah, because of the $2,300.
And then that's it for the debt?
Yes. Yep. That is it for the debt.
Okay. So then that is $830 for debt payments. We have the $1,225 for living plus the $2,300. Mm-hmm. So we're at coming in close here. So then you have $4,355, right?
Yeah.
Your take home, which is $4,944. So you have about, we'll say there's some, we'll round down here, like $550 left over monthly. Okay.
Yeah. And something else is that I had gotten a raise in December to that 95,000, but mm-hmm. it was kind of lower than I was expecting. And so I talked with my boss and kind of got competitor numbers and some things on like salary websites. And so I asked him about increasing that. And that's in the process of getting approved. I know that.
Oh, wow.
There's, yeah. I know that I'm going to get an increase. I don't know exactly how much, but I think maybe like I'll be paid 100 to 105,000. But I work for a bigger company. And so they have to go through all these approvals and I'm waiting to hear back about that.
Good job on advocating for yourself and going and doing the research to bring like comparable roles.
Yeah.
That's a great way to, it's an uncomfortable conversation, but that's the way to do it. Be like, I'm underpaid based on the industry and the role that I have. And here's the comps to show you that's not my opinion, but it's backed by data.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely listened to you on that one. I'm very like money driven. And so I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get my, not make it personal, make it about like my value.
Yes. You can't make it personal. I like cringe when people are like, well, I deserve to be paid more. Yeah, you do. Yeah. But you have to show a business case for it. Right.
Yeah.
And, or I've heard someone else one time say it. I was like, ooh, well, I have student loans to pay. And I'm like, that's not the employer's problem. Like, you took those out before you were employed there. Like, you need to make, like, your pay is, you know, under industry average for your role. This is what you're contributing to the firm. It, like, I think goes much better when you make a business case and it's not emotional. It's not personal. It's about the business, the role that you're completing for the firm or the company and the value that you're bringing relative to, like, what that role would be at other competing firms. So good job. I'm happy for you. So, okay, let's talk about when you get this raise. Are we thinking about upping the 401k?
That's what I'm kind of unsure about.
Okay. Let's table it for a second. Let me ask you where you are with your savings. And then that's like my first inclination.
Yeah. So I use a budgeting app where you create all sorts of categories. And so I have them spread out, but I think it's about 3,800 that I have just saved waiting for an emergency or a little bit planned for the wedding.
I love how you say waiting for an emergency. Yeah. Just over here chilling till there's a problem.
Those seem to happen, you know, especially with the house. My car was totaled last year, which is my third totaled car.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I just have like terrible luck with certain things. Other things are great. Like my professional life is awesome, but, you know, life gets you somewhere else. So,
yeah. It's always good to have an emergency fund because life happens, especially with a house. And obviously, God, that's terrible. You've had three total cars and you're okay. You didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I've been okay every time. It's never been my fault, just for the record. Like, I'm a very defensive driver now.
I would be too. I would be nervous.
Yeah, it's just been freak accidents that I've just had to accept as like life. But
those are expensive. Thankfully, no injuries. That would be terrible. But yeah, life happens. So you have about 3,800. Hopefully, no more totaling the car.
Yeah,
so no one hits you. Okay, and then what else do you have?
Like, I have a decent amount in my 401k. If that, or do you want me to get into that?
Yeah,
saving stuff. Okay,
yes, great.
Yeah, I have 65,400 in my 401k,
and a decent portion of that is Roth.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have the breakdown?
I don't. That is a good question. Yeah, I'm not sure what the breakdown is. Maybe like one third pre-tax and the rest is Roth.
Yeah, that should be about where it should fall, given if you've always been contributing 6% Roth and then your employer is matching a third, the other third, the 3%. Okay. So on your, it should stay on your statement when you get your statement, or if you go online and look at your portal, it should give you a breakdown of Roth versus pre-tax. So you should just something to look at.
Check that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So $65,000 in your 401k.
Mm-hmm. And then I have $3,000 in just like a separate investing account.
Okay.
That I just kind of picked some stocks. That was kind of a question of like, should I really stick with that? Because it's less reliable than maybe an IRA.
Well, so the being an investment account versus an IRA, it just has to do with the tax structure. That's it.
Okay.
You could have the same investments in either, really. It's all about your tax structure. So in an investment account, sometimes called a brokerage account or an advisory account, it depends on how, there's like different titles. We'll just say an investment account. That's an after-tax vehicle, meaning you put your money in it after you've paid tax on it. You will be issued a 1099 each year for any taxes that are owed. So capital gains, dividends, what have you. And it's yours personally. The difference with the IRA is the IRA falls underneath. It's the individual retirement account. So it falls underneath the retirement rules. And so the IRA has a few different components it depends on. Depends if you're married or not married, right? On your on your filing status. It also depends, a traditional IRA, we'll just use that, whether or not you get the tax deduction will depend on whether or not you and your husband are have an active workplace plan and your income. So what you put inside can be the identical, can be absolutely the same. It's more your tax structure and your eligibility for a tax benefit.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that does.
Okay.
And then that is all I have in savings right now.
Okay. So we could look at, I'd love to get your emergency fund up a little bit higher just because as we talked about, emergencies happened and you have a house and we've had some bad luck with cars.
Yeah.
The investment account could be viewed as an emergency fund. The trick is if the value of that goes down, when the emergency happens, that would be problematic. So generally, I like the emergency fund to be not invested because you know how life goes. Like it goes from 3,000 to 2,500 and there's an emergency. And instead of 3,000, you have 2,500 because the market went down. Now the market can also go up, but that's usually not how life works. So what are we doing? Okay, so two things I want to talk about. One is now that you're married, filing jointly, because did you just get married 2024 or 2023?
2023.
Okay, 2023. Have you checked out the tax brackets? I know that's like that's something people do on the weekends, but so
I have not.
Okay, so married filing jointly, your marginal rate, meaning the most you're going to pay on tax, like the highest bracket you're hitting, is 22%. So we'll just assume you're making 100, husband's making 70. We'll say gross is 170. So you have a decent amount that's hitting the 22% bracket. Is your husband doing a retirement contribution at work?
Yes, he is as well.
Is it pre-tax?
I am not sure. I want to say it's also Roth, his contribution.
So Roth's get... We just talked about this when we talked about this when we released our first episode. Yeah. Roths have like the best branding out there. Like I can't think of another financial topic that has as good of a reputation, I will say, as the Roth IRA. I love the Roth IRA. But we also need to look at your taxes.
Yeah.
Right? Because it evens out. Like if you're paying 22% now and you're paying 22% in retirement, then it's even. But if you're paying 22% now and potentially in retirement, you're paying 12. Well, then you want your tax break today when you're in a higher tax bracket. You don't want it in the future when you're in a lower tax bracket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I can't tell you what is the right stance from a tax perspective because I'm not a tax professional. But if you have an accountant, you could ask them to kind of run the numbers for you to see what would happen with your tax return if you switched or partially switched from Roth to pre-tax, because will your income be $170,000 in retirement?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good
point. Know. So maybe just throwing out a scenario, maybe in this scenario, now that you're married, filing joint, you're making more money. Maybe you have your accountant run the numbers on switching to pre-tax and then you're able to save more.
Yeah.
If in theory, we don't know, if you think you might not be pulling in $170,000 in the future.
Yeah. And is that just something you project with how much you have now and just like a standard interest rate? Okay.
Yeah. So you just, you have to take a guess, right? You have to say like, yeah, where do I think my income is going to be in retirement? Do we think, right? Because right now everything's expensive.
Yeah.
For you. Right. We have a mortgage, we have solar loan, we have student loans. You need more money to be able to make all your payments. In retirement, like, what do you think, if you had to take a guess, like, what do you think you would need to live on? If mortgage is paid, solar loans paid, student loans are paid. I mean, you're taking a guess. We don't know for sure. That's the hard part about planning, but.
Yeah.
I would think you would need less to live on.
Definitely. Yeah. Without the debt.
All those. Yeah. With all the things. Yeah. The mortgage, the debt. So I think it would be interesting to run a scenario where you see the difference. Okay. Like, so how much more are you getting in your paycheck if you switch to pre-tax? You already have a lot in Roth. So it's not like you didn't do it. You did it. But maybe on, maybe now when you're approaching the 30s, right, where mm-hmm. you're making more money, you still have a lot of expenses, but we're trying to save for other life goals. Maybe you say we're going to switch to the pre-tax option for a little bit or split the difference. You and your yeah. husband are going to do 3 Roth, 3 pre-tax. I would look at the math, like where, because if you're bringing home a little bit more than $550 a month, we can bump up your emergency fund.
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay. still be contributing a good amount to retirement. And I would say with the raise that you're going to get, because you mm-hmm. did a great job on that, is I would, what is the percentage? I would split the difference. I would increase the retirement savings mm-hmm. by a percentage, and then you can take some more in your take home. But I okay. would love to get you closer to like an 8% contribution. I know this is crazy, like we're 10, but you might be able to get there if you're doing the pre-tax option.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's not as painful because you're saving on taxes.
That's true. Yeah. It's not as big of a,
it's not a dollar for a dollar, right? So,
yeah.
So for $1,000 just federally, you're going to save give or take 22%. So you are really missing $780 out of your pay to put $1,000 just federally.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have a tax professional do some math for you on that.
Okay. I will do that. Do you think there's value one over the other of putting into a 401k versus an IRA? Like, which one would be better to do right now?
Yeah, I have very strong opinions on this.
Okay.
I will say, so there's two things. One, your limitation on the IRA is lower. So what you're able to contribute is lower. And this has come up so many times so far, and we're only like in February of 2024. you cannot make a, let's see, yeah, if you're both covered by a workplace plan, which you are, you both have 401ks, mm-hmm. and your income for 2024, your modified adjusted gross income, which I don't know what your modified adjusted gross income, but if your modified adjusted gross income is greater than 143, you are not eligible to deduct the IRA, meaning you don't get any tax break on it. It's a non-deductible IRA.
Okay.
And if you're between $123,000 and $1 and $142,999, you can do a partial deduction. I hate that. Hate
okay,
it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate it. Because now I don't like to have mixed monies. I don't like all, I like to keep it simple and easy because in my opinion, the way to build wealth is to do the simple basic task and repeat for a number of years. Keep it really easy. You yeah. have a great, well, you both have workplace plans. That's wonderful. Maximize those. It's really easy, right? They've taken a lot of the guesswork out of it for you. You don't have to figure out of the 8,000 funds available, which ones you like. They've already given you a menu. They've like said, no, we don't want those people. We want these people. They've done a review. And if someone's doing terrible, they usually fire them. They'll get them out of your workplace plan and replace them. So somebody else has done, taken a lot of the guesswork out. You're also mm-hmm. doing it. It's payroll driven. So it's going in for you 26 times a year, which is great, your dollar cost averaging. When it's up to you, this is just my opinion of people and life, is when it's up to you to take care of all of this, sometimes it slips through the cracks because you're busy. And you're like, oh, for whatever reason, my checking account number changed and I thought I was contributing and now I'm not because they said I need to fix that and I missed the email or whatever, what have you.
Yeah.
Right? Or you make the contribution and you don't know it's non-deductible because no one's ever reviewed with you this fun little chart that's called the traditional IRA deductibility rules. Fun.
Okay.
So I think it's best to keep it simple. And unless there's a reason it sounds like you guys might be on the threshold of only having a partial deduction or no deduction at all. I would 100% maximize your work plans, unless there's a reason not to. Like, you're like, the investments inside of there are terrible. There's two choices, which I don't even think that's possible. So that's my soapbox. Maximize your workplace plan. I will also say, having been in the industry for such a long time, because I'm now very old, or I feel very old, I'm a geriatric millennial. When people walk into my office when they're getting ready for retirement, the most amount of money that they have, usually the largest investment that they have to themselves, like for themselves as a person, is almost always the workplace plan. Almost always.
Yeah.
Just because the limit is so much higher. You can put so much more money, like for 2024, you can put $23,000 in your 401k. Wow. The limit's so much lower. And it's meaning that you have to be in charge of it. You have to, like, it's an individual retirement account. You need to know whether or not it's deductible. And then you need to know whether, if you did deductible 1 year and non-deductible the next year, we need to track that. Mm-hmm. I think keep it simple. Use your workplace plan.
Okay. That is nice to hear.
And just keep increasing it. I think that there's just a lot of talk online of, like, you should be doing this on your own. Like, you should have an IRA, you should have a Roth IRA. Like, you have Roth monies. It's the Roth 401k versus Roth IRA. Like, you want Roth dollars. You have Roth dollars. Now, I think you're in this stage of your career when you're, like, coming into your 30s. We have a mortgage now. We still have student loans that we have 14 years. We're looking to maybe do a wedding. Let's try and stretch your dollars as far as they can go, so you're still checking all the boxes. And that's why I would get, do you have a CPA? Tax professional, someone who does your taxes. I would look to one, and you can just run the numbers on, like, if my contributions at work were all pre-tax versus Roth, and you can split it down the middle. Like, what if we split it up? What does it look like for us tax-wise? And maybe going forward, with now that we have higher expenses, maybe you change your plan a little, change your direction slightly.
Okay.
Because what I would love to see is you increase the work retirement plan. I can't say, because I don't know your tax return, whether it's pre-tax or post, Roth, I mean. And then I would love to see you get your savings up more.
Okay. Yeah. That's been my goal. December was a bad spending month, like, excessive with all the deals. So I'm trying to get back on track this year.
you're in a good spot. You have, like, a very, you obviously know what you're, you know what's coming in, you know what's going out. So that's really the first battle for most people, is to understand how much comes in, how much goes out. Is it really working for me? Like, is it serving the purpose? Because sometimes people don't have any idea where their money's going and don't know why they're not making progress. So I would say, if you do have that 550 left over, for what I would think would be the priority, would be the emergency fund. Because as you continue to save cash over the next 2 years, you'll get to a point where you could use some of that for a wedding.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, is anything going to be paid off in 2 years? Nothing. Everything is, it'd be great if there was, like, a debt payment that sunset it. The other option is you keep advocating at work for a raise, another raise.
Yeah. I mean, I have been very driven to, like, keep getting certification things and all of that, taking on responsibility. So trying to continue to add value.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to think the other way. The wedding part's going to be tricky because it's just so expensive. See, if you got to, like, having an extra, let's see, $750 a month, like, in theory, because you're switching how you're contributing to your work plan. Mm-hmm. Times 12, that's $9,000 a year, right? That could be saved potentially, like, into your emergency fund. So that would get you over the course of a year up to $12,800. Plus, if you decided to add the investment account into there, that gets you to $15,000, right? $800 as an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. You're still doing your 401k. And then the following year, year two, you are saving $750 again times 12. And that's another $9,000, right?
Yeah.
So you could save a lot over the course of 2 years by tweaking some stuff.
Okay. Yeah. That is something to think about. That I didn't really think about doing that way, but great to hear.
Yeah. I had to do a video on it because I watched a video on it for one of my CEs, for my CFP. And they just showed, like, you're in a high bracket now, which often people are, right? Because you, in this stage of life, you just need, you're making good money because you've, you know, been working towards your career. You have the graduate degree now, right? You've been advocating for yourself at work and you have all these expenses, right? Like it's an expensive part of life. And then in retirement, like you don't always need as much, right? Your home is paid for, cars are paid for. If you have kids, kids are grown, like they're not there sucking up expenses. Cause like I have people in retirement that live on like $2,000 to $3,000 a month comfortably. Like have a nice life because they don't have any bills really other than utilities and cell phone and like some basic stuff. But at that point your solar's paid off, right? You're like making energy.
Right.
When you're planning out what your retirement is and like, obviously there's inflation and adjustments like that. It's 30 years down the line. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. I have just found that people get comfortable, like whatever you're living on for fun, right? Like your life money, right? Going out, Ubers, ski pass, gear, that sort of stuff that stays the same. Gear's probably more expensive. Well, that's probably more expensive. But you have a lot of expenses that go away in retirement, ideally.
Yeah.
You don't always need quite as much.
That's a good point. Yeah, things are just expensive right now.
You're just in that part of life.
Lots of things for the future that are... will go away.
Yeah. And you want to just try, I think you want to try and stretch your dollars as much as you can now so we can do all the things. We can pay the student loan, we can pay down the mortgage, plan for a wedding, we just have a lot of things we need to tackle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think the Roth has like the best reputation out there. And so people don't even consider the other option, you know, because everybody's like, oh, you have to have a Roth. Don't look at your tax. Talk about the Roth. But it really is a decision of like, what's your best tax strategy? Like, is it better to take a tax break today? Or is it better for you to take a tax break in retirement, knowing that there are some variables you can't, like, we don't know where we're going to be in 30 years, but you could take a guess.
Right. Can at least expect that loans will go away. That's for sure. So that's a big chunk of my monthly out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a good amount of expenses right now. So that would be one thing to consider to stretch your dollars farther is taking a tax break today when you have the most expenses.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to have you back on, Diaz. We're not using your original name. So you've done a lot of big things since you were on originally, got married, bought a house, advocated for a raise, which I love. So do you have any final questions?
I think maybe just about the savings. And I know you said like you want to keep it liquid for emergencies and things, but let's say I'm putting down a lot or I'm saving a lot with the wedding and stuff. Would that just be best put into like my savings account, which has like a 4.3% interest rate, just keeping it in there? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Unless you're willing to cut budgets based on market return. So yes, we could absolutely have a great year and you could get married and the market could be up and you could have made more than 4.3%. But remember, there's always the flip side of there could be less. So you have to be willing to assume that risk. And for me personally, I think it's better off making a nice amount of interest, right? Because we didn't have interest rates for a long time. So money made zero, which was always hard for people being like, I have all this money in the bank and I'm making nothing. So you're making something on it. And to me, 24 months is not a long time to have money readily available.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think that answers a lot of what I've been worried about and thinking about. So thank you. This is super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to have you back on.
Yeah, thank you.
And so for all of our lovely listeners, we are asking this season that if you like our show, you rate and review us and additionally share us with a friend. So thanks for listening. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.